Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Welcome to Calvary, everybody, especially those of you that could be joining us today for the very first time. Please let one of our team know that you're here today, perhaps visiting for the first time, and we'd like to connect with you, make you feel at home and part of the family. There's always room for more. You know, it's been so wonderful reconnecting with so many of you in person again as we've been meeting outdoors here at the church, in addition to our Sunday online broadcast. It's just great to reconnect with old friends that we haven't seen in person for a long time. Last week, I had a great opportunity to reconnect with an old friend that I haven't seen for years, to be honest. They moved away quite some time ago for a new career opportunity, but he and his family moved back to BC a couple of years back. But since then, we've been both so busy and staying close to home during these days that we haven't been able to connect in person until last week. And so we decided, hey, let's get together early one morning. Let's meet at the park. We'll go for a walk and we'll catch up, see what's happening. So there was one close to my home with a high school next to it, and so he parked his car, and I walked over to meet him, and off we went. We were walking in the park early in the morning and just kind of sharing all the great things that God has been doing in our lives and in our families since we last saw one another. And then we made our way back to the parking lot to get his car. But when we arrived at the parking lot, his car seemed to be blocked in by four or five other cars, all surrounding his car. It was a fence in front of his car, so he literally couldn't go anywhere, completely blocked in. I've never seen anything like it before. It was bizarre. And we just wondered, like, why? Why in this moment? But he felt helpless. He looked kind of, it was like a powerless moment because he couldn't move his car. He was literally blocked on every side. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we feel like that in our lives, where we feel powerless to change something within our lives. The enemy tries to block us at every turn and to make us feel that same way, helpless, powerless to move in any direction. And so we need a higher power to come in and to break up that blockade and to move things forward again. So his car was right next to a huge pickup truck, and it was so close to his door that he literally couldn't open it. Was this a prank? Was this a group of drivers that didn't like the way that he parked his car? Who knows, right? So we decided to go into the school office and explain the situation. Finally, the vice principal joined us in the parking lot, scratching his head, going, well, this is a new one. Never seen this one before. And you know what? He said that many of the students, the senior students, were in exams that day. But despite that, he said, I'm going to get on the loudspeaker and call them out. And so you heard it outside. He said, well, the owners of this vehicle, and he listed off the vehicles, report immediately to the parking lot. You're illegally parked. And you have 3 minutes to get here before I tow all your cars. And so you know what? One by one, they sheepishly kind of showed up to where we were, very quiet, denying any kind of wrong intent. And it took a higher power to step in, to break up that blockade and to free his car. And we found a note a little later on that said, when you learn how to park right, we'll leave your car alone. Next time, we'll key it. They were going to scratch his car. There was a threat on a car. And so here we were in this situation faced with an unusual moment. You know, did they not like the way he was parked? Maybe they were trying to bully another student who thought, who's got this nice car? And so they seemed to be doing that. You know, every day the enemy in our lives seems to kind of block us personally in the church with regards to our progress. But you know what? It took a much higher power to step in and to empower the church to move past some of those things that block our progress. Today we're continuing with our Acts of the Apostles series with episode 4 on a very special day, actually. And for those of you that don't know and may not be aware, today is Pentecost Sunday. A significant day as thousands of churches around the world celebrate this moment. Today commemorates the birth of the Spirit-empowered church that we see in Acts chapter 2. In Acts 2, 1-4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, They were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind filled the whole house where they were sitting. And the Bible says that they saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of the people who had gathered. And all of them, the Bible says, were filled with the Holy Spirit, no longer powerless, no longer helpless. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This was a powerful moment. Then Peter would get up and go on to preach a very anointed message that ended with 3,000 people following Christ and being baptized in one day. So in one day, a very large church was born. My message today is entitled Higher Power. As we look at what makes this day so important to our faith and how you and I can live a life that is empowered by the Spirit as we draw from that higher power. Now, like many of you, I wasn't born into the Pentecostal experience. My family actually had deep Roman Catholic roots for generations. As a matter of fact, at one point, I even applied, if you've heard my testimony, I even applied to be an altar boy, and my application was rejected. Didn't have what it took to be an altar boy, I guess. But listen, it was my mother's hunger for God, her incredible passion for the things of the Spirit that sparked a fire in our family that would literally change the course of my life. When I was in my early teens, something called the charismatic renewal swept through the Catholic Church. And many, many people came to know Jesus in a very personal way. Sometimes I would go with my mom to prayer meetings in the basement of our old church, and these group of ladies would get together to study Scripture. They would meet every week to pray and to worship God together, believing for miracles. It was an incredible thing. And you know what? Despite that little out-of-tune guitar that they played, I could feel the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. It was like electricity in the air, because I couldn't even explain it except what I was feeling. I also remember another occasion where we attended an outdoor worship concert at a university football stadium that I went to with my parents, and I will never forget this. This stadium was filled with people, they were singing, and then the clouds rolled in, dark clouds, looked like it was going to pour rain. And so the worship director said, let's pray for the weather to improve. These crazy charismatics would pray for anything. And they began to pray. They prayed in tongues, they prayed in English, they prayed in every language that they knew. And as those voices got louder, as they prayed, I kid you not, the clouds began to pull back. And out of that opening in the sky, a little seagull dropped down to the surprise of his life, because everybody that was gathered thought it looked like a dove. And so we all went standing ovation, clapping our hands as this little seagull landed on the side of the stage. But you know what? That was all we needed that day, to see the power of God moving as we prayed. And the sun came out. You know what? When you experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, like we did that day, you'll never, ever be the same again. But we've not been filled with the power of the Spirit for our own personal entertainment, to be weather benders and to get a spiritual goosebump. We've been filled with the Spirit of God with great purpose. Acts 1:8, which has served as the promise of our series, says that when the people came, they'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes upon them. But for what purpose? The Bible says to be my witnesses. And what do witnesses do? They tell people about Jesus everywhere they go, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, all starting in Jerusalem. Now, let me put my teaching hat on for a bit so that I can help you kind of better understand a word that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Now, for those of you who know me, I've never been a big fan of labels, especially when it comes to denominations. But Pentecost is not a denomination, even though our own denominational affiliation finds its roots in this experience. You see, Pentecost is, is not a group of fringe believers that don't wear makeup or have a bun in their head or handle snakes out in the woods somewhere. Pentecost is all about empowering believers with supernatural ability to fulfill a meaningful mission. So, in order to effectively kind of set things up so it's clear and accessible to everyone, we need to explore our Jewish roots a little bit. And you know what? We need to be praying for Israel right now, for peace in the Middle East. But in the Jewish calendar, there are seven feasts or festivals each year, which was God's way of teaching his people about who he was. Three were what's called pilgrim feasts. This is where the Jewish men from all over the then known world would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem every year to celebrate the feasts of Passover, of Pentecost, of Tabernacles. Now, the word Pentecost itself, when we break it down, simply means 50th. Pente, meaning five, like the pentagon or a pentagram, right? Five sides, five points. And then koste, which means to the 10th power. So this feast was given its name because it takes place 7 weeks or 49 plus 1 days after the last feast, after Passover. Now, because God is instituting this with people who have been in a slave mentality for so long, living their lives in a constant state of work, he had to teach them to take a break or to have a holiday, a time to set aside and to stop and to remember, a time to celebrate. So these three feasts or festivals commemorated the journey of the children of Israel from slavery through to freedom. In and of themselves, we could easily, honestly, dedicate an entire series to each one, and maybe we will at some point. But today, I just want to focus on the Feast of Pentecost. You see, the book of Exodus in the Old Testament tells us that the people of Israel gathered at the base of Mount Sinai. Remember, if you would, the Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments movie, right? This dramatic moment. They stayed at the base of the mountain as Moses kind of ventures up to meet with this higher power, to meet with God in this very Indiana Jones moment. And then God descends to meet with Moses as a thick cloud drops over the mountain with thunder and lightning, fire, and the sound of a trumpet as God speaks to Moses and carves the law out of the stone of that mountain. Then Moses returns. He comes back to the people with a new law written on two stone tablets. It represents a new way of living to help the people, to guide them, to live their lives in a godly way. So the Feast of Pentecost was established as a time to stop each year and to remember that day, the first Pentecost. So now let's fast forward to the arrival of Jesus on the scene, when some feel that now that he's here, they can be free completely from the law of Moses that he saw fulfilled. But see, he's not there to destroy the law. He's there to fulfill it. He came to bring it to pass. Matthew 5:17 says just that. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus fulfilled every promise ever spoken. Now let me give you some insight as to how the Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled when we get to the book of Acts and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You see, these are some interesting parallels between Exodus and Acts, the book of Acts. You see, in Exodus, a cloud descended with loud thunder and lightning and fire. But in Acts, the Holy Spirit descended with the sound of a loud, mighty, rushing wind and tongues of fire. In Exodus, God wrote his law on tablets of stone. In Acts, he wrote his law on their hearts through his Spirit. The letter of the law versus the spirit of the law, talking about God's grace. In Exodus, 3,000 people died in one day when Moses returned with the law, only to find that so many people rebelled and had slid into idolatry. And the ground opened up and they were gone. But in the book of Acts, 3,000 people were saved through the Spirit's power. In Exodus, God established the nation of Israel. In Acts, on the day of Pentecost, God established his church. What a powerful day. And after Jesus was resurrected and he began to appear for 40 days, which is the number of preparation, he wanted to prepare them, as we've talked about, for the gift that the Father would send after he ascended to heaven. See, the great comfort of the Holy Spirit, that higher power that we're talking about today. The Spirit was sent to fill our lives with passion, fill it with fire, to fill our church with the same, and to have that life empower us. Now, he's come to give us power in three ways, and let me give that to you. The first one is he empowers you to live righteously. You see, instead of an external set of laws to follow, he wrote his laws on our hearts. God says, I'm going to replace your old sinful nature with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. And you have that Spirit if he is living within you. And then, number two, he empowers you to live supernaturally. God has intended all of his people to operate not in just what they know and understand and to live in our own strength, but to live in his strength and his power. In fact, I say, come Holy Spirit on our church with signs and wonders. Fill our children, fill our students. Do what you've promised, Lord, as we believe for it in this day. Acts 2:19 says, and I will cause wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth below. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I want to be a part of it. And then finally, number three, he empowers you to fulfill his mission. You see, at the heart of Pentecost is bringing the good news to a messed up world. The real sign of the Holy Spirit at work on that day, on the day of Pentecost, was that 3,000 people got saved in one day. You see, it's all about people coming to Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 says, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Same fire of Pentecost that fell so long ago in that upper room, that burns so brightly on Azusa Street, that consumed my family back in the charismatic renewal, that same fire lives on in this generation and the ones to follow. That same fire is fueled today as we gather. And we'll continue to spread and see the transformation of lives wherever we go. On the day of Pentecost, when those who believe met together in one place and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter stands up and he proclaims the words that were really a prophecy. It was a prediction from the prophet Joel that, you know what, every time I hear it, every time I read it, I feel like it's talking about me. And I believe it's still being fulfilled today. It's something that just grips me, it grabs my heart, and it resonates with something within me. Acts 2:17 so powerfully says, in the last days, God says, I will pour up my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. That's all of us. I used to see myself as the younger part of that, but as I get older, I realize I'm still covered. We're all a part of it. You know what? I pray today that we'll pause. We'll pause and reflect on what it means to be a people filled and directed by the Holy Spirit, to be led and fueled by a higher power than our own. That same fire must continue to fuel our dreams, new visions, new stories of lives being transformed in living rooms, on mission fields, and on churches around the world. Would you pray with me today as we conclude our service, thanking the Lord for the power of the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday? Father, we thank you today that you were at work within our lives to drive back the things the enemy tries to block our progress with, preventing us from moving in any direction. I thank you today that you, as that higher power comes into our lives, breaks that up and helps us to move forward once again. I pray today that we would be empowered as a church, that we would be empowered as individuals to be witnesses of you, Lord Jesus, witnesses of what you've done in our lives, and that we would continue to see that spread throughout the world. I thank you that we are part of a generation that will prophesy and dream dreams and be actively doing what you've called us to do as signs and wonders follow us wherever we go. And for those today that are searching, that still have more questions than they do have answers, I pray today you would find peace in knowing Christ, that you would simply say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that you gave your life for me. Would you come into my heart? Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you be my Lord and be my spirit, my Savior? And Holy Spirit, would you guide me? Would you empower me to do all that you've called me to be? And for everyone within our church, everyone that's watching today, I pray that you would never have to feel powerless or helpless ever again, but that you would experience his power. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary.